Wow, that was really good, you guys. Thank you. That was awesome. So glad that you all could join us today. For those of you watching at home, let us know. Say hi to
Good
us.
Morning.
It's great to, I'm glad that you guys are with us, and we just want to continue to stay connected to each other. But let's start off with some prayer and settle in as we gather and rest around God's word.
You pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. I ask that you fill us with your spirit, that you give us peace right now as we rest, that we rest and receive your word, your healing, your future, your legacy, your present. Thank you, Lord. We recognize that you have all good for us. And all we can say is thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we want to begin today's service the way we often begin, recognizing that we aren't perfect and that the requirement is not that you have to be perfect, but that you are repentant and trust in Jesus and you, for that, are forgiven. So let's say together our prayer of confession and begin with receiving God's forgiveness. Let's read together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Then Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. And as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I thereby forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. We need help. We need your Holy Spirit to even trust that, to rest in that. We rest in the fact that we are forgiven and your loved children. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
So let's start with our first reading for today, which is Psalm 23.
Psalm 23, it's a pretty famous psalm. It's found on page
261.
And we'll meditate on this for a moment before we sing a song and then read the remaining scriptures for the day. But this is describing the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. This is Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So our second reading for today is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, found on page 523. And we are continuing with the theme of God as our good shepherd. So John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
The next reading will be from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. So 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 19 through 25. See if you can find the connection to Psalm 23 and John 10, which is shepherd. 1 Peter, here we go. "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
So since the resurrection of Christ on Easter, we celebrate his appearing before he ascended into heaven. Remember, he appeared to his disciples and to, I think Paul reports, 250 people or so. And he says things. He shows up and he says, "Peace," and he's trying to remind you of things before he goes away. And so as we're looking at these days of Easter after his resurrection, we're remembering what he wanted you to have. So the idea of an inheritance, when someone passes away, the idea is, oh, so-and-so, your grandfather, your loved one, wanted you to have this. And so we're going through this idea of Jesus saying, God wanted you to have this. And so the first one was, he wanted you to have a future. Your inheritance is locked up, protected in heaven forever. Nothing can touch it. It's unlike any other future. The next week was, you have a legacy, your story, where you come from, who you are is set. It's secure. And then this week is going to be, he wanted you to have this. He wanted you to have a good shepherd. And so I was noticing how God always works and how Peter here is working, which is God always starts off with your future. Mm-hmm. So when he meets Abraham or he meets Moses, he says, you're going to deliver your people from Egypt and you're going to get all this land. He always starts off with the future. So to us, he always starts off with, you're going to live in a recreated world where Jesus is king, mm-hmm. and you're going to live forever. Oh, that's your future.
Yeah.
How? By faith. So Abraham, Isaac, all of them. It's always, here's who you are. This is your future. Then,
let me jump in.
Jump in.
Then he always reminds them of their past. Mm-hmm. He always gives them their story and retells them their story. This is who you are and this is where you've come from. So he'll give them where you're going. Now he's going to say, this is where you've come from. And so he reminds them, you've come from a garden. You've come from a world that I created that was perfect, that was fallen, and now I am restoring it, and I'm going to recreate you into the people you're supposed to be. And that's your past, that's your story.
Right, the legacy. So the security is, you're going to be this, the security is, now here's the story. Mm-hmm. I fought all the battles for Israel. I fought Goliath. I do the work. I give you Jesus Christ. This is your legacy. You're secure. Mm-hmm. Then the last thing God always does, so it goes future, it goes past. Then you're ready to hear, okay, so what do we do today? Here's the present. And that's what Jesus wants you to have today, because I want you to have this. Mm-hmm. You have a good shepherd. You have a good shepherd. So we have to figure out what that means.
You're right.
You have the overseer of your soul. And so I wanted to first and foremost identify what a shepherd is. If you're in any other country, I don't know if you've ever lived in another country, and you ask what a shepherd is, they'll respond to you with a name, a person. To them, shepherds are people. And so, like, I remember I lived in England.
Yeah.
We had Roy was his name. He was an Israeli who worked in this castle in England and was the farmer. He was the shepherd, because we had sheep in England and all that stuff. He was the shepherd. And it was a person. And I remember that guy knew agriculture. That guy knew veterinary skills. He knew weather. He knew everything. You have mm-hmm. To be a shepherd. And so you get an idea of what a shepherd is from Psalm 23. It's yeah. someone who is guiding and protecting and looking out for this herd. And throughout the world, it's always a person. If you look up shepherd on your Google machine later today, in America, it always comes up some kind of breed of dog. I tried it. It doesn't come up because we have no context for shepherd.
Yes.
So it's like the American German shepherd, the shepherd, this kind of Australian shepherd dog, because we don't use shepherds.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out what would be the equivalent of a shepherd in my life. Like, where is an experience that I've had that someone has shepherded me? And I immediately thought of my 2 weeks in the mountains of New Mexico. And I had a guide. And so you have this guide who's experienced. She knows the layout. She knows the land. She knows the dangers. And her whole purpose is to show you the boundaries, show you what to do to be safe, so that you can enjoy your time in this beautiful wilderness. And so for me, the first thing she did, was we were an hour into our first day. She walks us to the closest campsite, and there is a giant water container. It's massive. And it has steel walls in it, and it was buried in the ground, and it had steel walls, and they were probably a couple inches thick. And it was dug up and ripped open like a tin can. And she said, "That was a bear trying to get some water." Bears are an issue out here. They are a reality of this world, and you need to learn how to deal with them. And she gave us then the proper procedures on how to be bear safe, so that we can enjoy our 2 weeks in this wild country. And for me, she was a guide, and she was telling us how to be safe and to enjoy our time there.
Nice. So Jesus says in John chapter 10, there's bad shepherds.
Right.
So you're telling me someone who's a good shepherd, there's also bad shepherds mm-hmm. that are guides that do not care. They just want to, the way Jesus says is they want to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
And so think about shepherds in our lives, or people guiding us in the negative, because that's a reality. So that would be like, to me, mm-hmm. bad shepherds would be like bears on this trip of yours.
Yeah, bad shepherds, so yeah, would be the ones who aren't leading you anywhere. They're not thinking about you. They don't know you. They don't care about you. There's no vision for your future. There's no connection to your past.
There's no provision for right now.
And they're not protecting you in the present. They're just trying to take something from you.
So as we begin, we're going to break down what a good shepherd is mm-hmm. and what the good shepherd, Jesus, is for us. But before we begin, it's helpful to identify the places that we've looked, the bad shepherds that we've looked to. So ideas or people that we've looked to that we've wanted to know us. We wanted them to provide for us. We wanted this thing to lead us into abundant life. But they just couldn't. So I don't know if you have an idea of, like, what would be an example of a bad shepherd or a place we look to be shepherded and guided I mean, there's general ideas,
so,
right?
So for me, yeah, there's general, but like specifically for me, school was always something that I looked to as a something that would give me my identity, my meaning, and purpose.
Right.
And whenever I tied that to school, school always let me down there and would always say, you can do more, you can do better, you can be better. And I would only get, it would only take more from me instead of giving me more.
Right. No, I think school is a great one. And work. School, work, where you put all your energy and your focus in. I once heard, every once in a while I perused the internet and I saw this valedictorian, this kid who won all these things, and he had a brilliant speech, but it was all about, it didn't matter. I felt good for 2 minutes about all my accolades, but what matters is relationships. And I felt kind of bad for him because what he realized was he had allowed school to shepherd him into life, and then he realized that education doesn't ever know your name. Yeah. Education doesn't, it's always just more. It's more demanding, like, oh, now you need a master's degree. Yeah. Oh, now you need this. Now you got to work. It didn't know your name. It didn't lead you to life. But he didn't have a answer for that other than maybe I should have just spent more time relationally, which is not bad. But that's just another shepherd.
But now he starts, relationships just become another shepherd.
Because you could pour all, like, let's say I did it differently in high school, and all I did was pour into friendships and get to know people. But then I moved away, and it was before the internet, and no one cared. And so did I waste my time? Maybe. That's the idea of a shepherd. It's not all evil shepherds. It's just they can't support the things where we put our hope.
Our trust in.
Our trust in. Don't even promise to give you a place to eat, grass, and calm water. They don't even promise that. Yet we put that on these things like work and on relationships or school. And that's where Jesus says, no, I give abundant life. Not the good things. God gives us those good things because we're with him. And so it's an overflow, work and school, and they're great joy. But we easily confuse it.
Yes.
So God wanted you to have this. Christ is your good shepherd. He's with you now and forever. And the first thing that Christ does is he knows your name. He calls you by name. That's how you know a good shepherd. Have you ever met somebody 5 or 6 times and you knew their name after the first time? But then you realize maybe I'm not important enough for them to remember my name until they need you for something. That happens to Matt a lot when he's with me. Honestly, can I tell this story?
It's pretty
funny.
To figure out which one you're going to say.
There's so many stories, but when we go to conventions or places where there's other pastors, they can't wrap their head around how we do it, which is Matt's a partner. Matt's a lifelong disciple, but we're partners. It's not I'm the head guy. He's the junior or something, but the world of pastor conferences is you're the head pastor, oh, and he's your youth guy, or he's your music guy. What is he? And when I say, oh, he's like a partner, we do it together, they go, okay, and they remember my name, and they never remember meeting Matt, and they meet him over and over and over again. I know, it's sad,
but
it's just the human condition. It's the human condition, because the people we're meeting aren't our shepherds. They don't care about what we're actually doing, and I don't expect them to. That's why we don't take it personally. Now, if I was expecting them to help us, I'm like, they don't remember Matt's name? Oh, no. They don't know. They're not going to help us.
Right.
But we just know. We're just meeting. But that's an example of the false shepherds. They don't know your name. They don't know you. And that's what this is. This is intimate. Our shepherd, Jesus Christ, knows your name, knows who you are, loves you, and will mentor you and care for you. Whew. What else can do that?
Yeah. I think so.
Or who else?
What's been really cool is I've been reading a lot of Luther recently. And
good job.
He, as he was going through the monasticism, he realized his big turning point was when he realized reading the scripture, reading the creeds, doing confession, and he realized, this is all for me.
Right.
This isn't just a general rule book to make God happy. This is God sacrificing everything to be with me. And that radically transformed everything he was about. Because when you start reading God's word and realize this is speaking directly to me,
right,
it's a game changer.
It's for you.
It's now for you, and now you actually have something. Someone's thinking about you, which is always beautiful.
And the beautiful part too, as our shepherd, he knows what you are. It's not a shocker. It's not like he thinks I'm really good and now I got to keep up this facade. He knows you're a sheep. Mm. Do you know what a sheep is? I've told you sheep stories, my time in England. Sheep are notoriously dumb. Sheep are sheep. They just stand where they stand there and eat. They're open to attack. They're not smart. They get stuck on a fence. They'll drown. You know, if they tip over, they'll like die. Because they sit there long enough and their lungs will fill up with fluid. Like, you have to turn over a sheep. God knows you're a sheep. Stop trying to prove you're something else. It's a waste of time. God knows you're a sheep. And the best part about it is he knows you're a sheep, but he knows what you need. Uh-huh. And he wants to give it and is giving it. That's the language of shepherd. So if you feel less than, or you feel like I'm just not where I want to be or where I should be, relax. You're a perfect sheep. And you have a shepherd. You don't have to lead the rest of the you have a shepherd who knows you. He knows what you need, and he wants to give it. And that's where we see the great shepherd brings you into the fold.
Right.
And he's going to provide everything you need. He's going to make sure the grass is lush, the water is calm. You have boundaries. So this is where he starts to create the boundaries, because part of being a shepherd is protecting from the wolves, protecting from people trying to steal, protecting your sheep from wandering off. Because, by the way, that's the worst thing you can do as a sheep is wander off.
And be isolated.
Be isolated, which is the first thing that occurs to us when we're trying to figure out what's best for ourselves. And I'm going to be my own shepherd. The first thing we do is like, I'm going to leave church. I'm going to leave community, leave my home. I'm going to go do it on my own. And everyone just goes, you're a sheep. You were created to be with a bunch of other sheep standing there being protected and provided for by the shepherd. Relax. So he brings us into the fold and provides everything.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so for me, the idea of a fold is the boundaries. Hmm. And we crave boundaries. We need to know where our limits are so that we can then just be. Because otherwise, you've seen kids, they will continue to
test
and push and push until they find where the no is. Otherwise, they're going to keep going. And it's all it's doing is producing fear and anxiety because they don't know where the end is for them. And so they're just going to keep searching until they find it.
They're trying to be safe, like, where's the no? And then the parents trying to be cool, like, I don't want to say no.
Right.
Everybody's looking for a shepherd.
And so we just need someone that will tell us no and tell us, here's the boundary, here's the gate, here's when it's open, here's when it's closed, and now you are free to just exist within it.
Well, that's the study I read years ago. I've used it in preaching before, where they put a fence up around a playground. They had no fence, and they wanted to see how many kids played and how far away. And without a fence, they stayed really close. But then they put a fence up that gave a lot of room, and then the kids scattered all within that fence. So it really did give them the security, which we think we don't want.
To then just play.
Well, and the security that Christ gives us here is he sets up all these boundaries, and this is in the Peter passage where it says, he committed no sin. He did that for you. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. He was reviled and did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So by his wounds, you are healed. You, that you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And also EWU. It's for you. But
there it is.
There it is. We're back. But the idea of the boundary set for us, because that's the boundary I need. And I think the boundary we all need is, did I do good? Did I do good enough? Is it okay? Those are the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's where Christ brings you into his fold and he says, yeah, you did enough. You are a sheep. I do the work. I am perfect. Was I perfect? Did I ever deserve this bath? Yes, you did, but I died for you. I rose again for you. But if I'm suffering, am I doing bad? Is that why I'm suffering? No, we live in a world with bears. That's why you suffer. Now, if you go to sleep with food on your chest and you get torn up by a bear, Peter says, that's on you. But if you do everything and take off your clothes and prepare for the bear,
yeah, so
that's on the world. It might still go rough. I don't know. But Christ has walked through the suffering. That's why he says you can't base if you're doing well on suffering or no suffering. You base it on Christ. He gives life, and he gives us the example and actually the benefit of walking through suffering for you. This is what it means to be in the fold. So your boundaries, he's perfect. He doesn't have to, you don't have to fight and do all these things. He does it for you. He dies for you. So that now we can spread out where he's put us and be sheep and find mm-hmm. some joy and find life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was just going to be, try to, like, some practical stuff just on identifying the boundaries that he's secured for us and knowing, mm-hmm. like, where we live. For me, it's walking through the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer every day. The reason we do recite these things every week mm-hmm. is really to get them in your minds, to know who you are and what your boundaries are and where you get to roam. And so for me, I go through the Ten Commandments, and I go through each one and I confess where I've broken them, but then I'm reminded that I am a person who has one God. I am a person who keeps God's name holy. I am a person who honors the Sabbath.
It's faithful.
So I get that identity. I am a sheep, and this is my shepherd. And then that's where the Apostles' Creed, when we recite the Apostles' Creed, we're recognizing what our shepherd has done for us. He's created us. He's the creator, we're the creature. He's the redeemer, we're the redeemed. He's the sanctifier, and we're the sanctified. And then when we engage the Lord's Prayer, that's our faith in action. Where instead of just saying, I believe that God's my Father, you actually cry out, God, Father, Daddy. This is where you actually practice what you believe, and you engage that, and you pray for God and his kingdom and his will. And this is where we start to engage these boundaries and start to actually be sheep. Mm-hmm. And these are the healthy things that re-identify us and re-anchor us and remind us, oh, okay, he's actually given us a guide.
Yeah.
We don't have to just figure it out on our own.
Right. You don't have to figure it out on your own. You don't have to just trust your own feelings. You don't have to just trust. You get to trust the guide.
Yes.
The shepherd is with you. And by faith in Christ, he's given us, and at our baptism, he's given us the Holy Spirit. So take a deep breath and thank God. Last idea, though, is there's even more. And that is, you don't have to defend yourself. Most of us spend a lot of time, at least I do, trying to defend the idea that I'm good. If I get mad at Matt, he gets mad at me, I'm instantly thinking what I've done right and what he's done wrong. And he's instantly thinking what he's done right and what I've done wrong. And what's the truth? The truth is, I've done some right and I've done some wrong. He's done some right, he's done some wrong. And we have to forgive each other. And we don't have to defend ourselves. And what we have is a shepherd who says, I'll forgive you, Adam. You're not perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Now what? Now get back in there and forgive Matt. Oh, Matt goes to the Lord. God, Adam's wrong. What's wrong with him? Matt, I forgive you. I'm going to show you what you did wrong. He's like, oh, God, have mercy. I do. Now get in there and forgive Adam. That's the life of a Christian. That we are here now to love one another, to receive the forgiveness of God, now point it at one another. So even when they're suffering, The Bible always talks about rejoice in suffering. I'm not excited to suffer for doing good. But the idea is the person who's going to cause me to suffer, they're trying to hurt my body. They're trying to cancel my job, cancel my life, cancel me out. You hurt my body, but they're in a more precarious situation. They're trying to hurt my body, but they're hurting their own souls. That's where we then have mercy and we say, God, forgive them. Mm-hmm. They're trying to hurt my body. You take care of me. But they're hurting their souls. They don't have a shepherd over their soul. They're having to defend themselves. They're trying to get back something from me. I don't have anything. So when you're mad at me, you're trying to get something I don't have. And have it. There's nothing in the cupboard. You're going to be frustrated and you're going to be angry. And that's where we have a good shepherd, an overseer of our soul who says, I defend you. Be forgiven. You're not perfect. Mm-hmm. You're not intended to. There's no hero sheep story.
Right.
There's no sheep that goes out there, Rambo sheep. There's just no such story. I've never heard of one. Maybe we should write it. There's just no story. That's because we were created to be loved, mm-hmm. and tended to and cared for and defended. So you don't have to defend yourself. I'm just thinking we're literally in a pandemic. Who knows how to navigate this? Anybody? And so I already know, I can feel the culture. We're going to look at what company did it wrong, who did it wrong, and who did this, and who knows? It's easy to get negative. I don't want to get negative. I just know that's the world we navigate.
Yeah.
But we get to be the people who have a shepherd who defends us, and we get to give grace to ourselves. I didn't do it all right. Forgive me. Grace to others. You didn't do it all right. I forgive you. Because that's what we have to do in every part of our mm-hmm. life. And that's the good shepherd that you and I have. That's what Jesus wanted you to have, a present right now to walk in.
Yeah.
Did I say everything, Matt?
You did.
Did you want to just give it a twist?
No, you nailed it. Good job.
That's awesome. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. We gladly take the position of sheep to be taken care of, to be defended, and to be loved. We look to you and say thank you. We praise you, and we continue to give our prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So let's now stand and confess the Apostles' Creed. This is one of the boundaries where we are free under, that God is our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. So what is it you believe, Christian?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We wanted to take some time to pray. Remember the people in our community. I know that one prayer request is very right now, and that would be Troy and Tiffany Lano. Tiffany is, I haven't heard that she's not, I don't think she's having the baby right now, but it's any moment now. Over this weekend, they were preparing. It might be Sunday. I don't know if it's scheduled or not, but I just know their baby is coming. And the baby's name is Hattie.
Yes.
Hattie Lano. So we want to pray that everything goes well and is protected and blessed by God. And
then we'll keep you guys updated on whether or not there's anything we can do as a community to help them.
Right. We're going to be talking with them to figure out, you know, usually we make meals and we go over and everybody goes over and says, hey, and drops a meal off. We'll figure out. We don't know how what to do yet, but we'll figure it out. And then so I'm going to pray for the Lanos and continue to pray for Peter and Ray. Their wedding is coming up in June. And so I'm going to be figuring out a way to meet with them for premarital counseling, which is a lot of fun. So just pray for them. For some reason, we're having two weddings during this weird time. It's so odd, but cool. Praise the Lord. That's a lot of weddings for us. And so we'll pray for those things. And then
don't forget, you can still tithe and give online at newcitynow.com/giving. And just remember that this is, again, a way that we put our trust in our shepherd and remind him, or remind ourselves, that he gives us all good things. And we don't look to money to shepherd us.
Nice. Yeah, and I thank God for how he's provided. Yeah. So let's pray for our people. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up Troy and Tiffany and Millie and sweet baby Hattie, who's trying to break into this world. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless Tiffany, that you'd keep her body safe and healthy, and that Hattie would be no complications, just come into this world with so much beauty and love and joy, and that you'd bless Troy as he takes care of Tiffany, and bless the home, and bless Millie, as all of a sudden she'll have a little sister. God, we thank you for the Lanos. We love them, and we pray your blessing over this great gift of life that you've given to them. We ask that in Jesus' name. Can you pray for Peter and Ray?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with Peter and Ray. I ask that you continue to guide them and lead them into marriage. That it is a ridiculous commitment that you love, because it is your ridiculous commitment to us. And so continue to give them faith and love and patience with one another as they learn how to navigate this new relationship. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more prayer. God, thank you for always providing for our needs. We ask that you'd bless the work that we do. You provide the wages. You provide the joy in serving each other. And Lord, it's such a source of anxiety and can be, but we thank you for what you have provided and what you've provided today, and we trust you for what you'll provide tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to provide for us, that we can actually be generous in giving to the work of your word on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that you bless New City Church. Bless all the churches, Father. I think of my brothers, sisters who meet in schools. We once did that. Bless them, give them creative ideas, and open up ways for the gospel to continue to be gathered around and continue to be a source of life and love to our world full of bears. Bless the offering that comes in this week, and bless our church. We pray this in Jesus' name, and then we all pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You want to bless us today, Matt?
Yeah. Let's do a benediction of what your good shepherd does for you. Your good shepherd will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Your good shepherd will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing order, and he will beautify you. Your good shepherd will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.